Hello, my name is Pastor Michael Eaton. I want to welcome you to today's program. You'll be listening to a message entitled, Send Me a Man, subtitled, How to Answer the Call of God. Now, this message was for men only, but if you are a lady and you want to listen in, we're going to pray that God would bless all of the listeners. And before we get into the word, we want to welcome those who are listening through our MySpace page. You may be listening through our podcast. You may also be listening from a file from our website or on a CD from whatever venue you're joining us today. We're going to pray that God will bless our time together. And now, let's get into the word. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Message again entitled, Send Me a Man.
Send me a man, subtitled, How to Answer God's Call. How to Answer God's Call. And this morning, we're going to be focusing really on the words of a man that we know in 1 Samuel by the name of Goliath. And Goliath out in this valley, it says, then he stood and he cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourself and let him come down to me. Goliath was saying, send me a man. Send me a man. And today, my thesis of what we're going to communicate is that Christian men should be courageous enough to answer the call of their king. To answer the call of their king. And we're going to look at 3 points this morning. In order to be a man that is sent, in order to be that man, you have to, first of all, you have to be courageous, and you have to be caring, and you have to be caring. And before we get into this, point number one, we just want to say what Goliath symbolized. Goliath in our lives could be an addiction. A Goliath in our life can be a habit, an attitude. A Goliath in our life could be bitterness, a job layoff, unsettled matters, financial problems, marital problems, illness, problems from the past, and difficult moral decisions, and that Goliath in our life is saying, send me a man. Send me a man. That wife in your life is saying, send me a man. That illness in your life is saying, send me a man. And many times, if we're not men, we don't look at the problems in our lives as a call from God. You see, Goliath's call would play a role in David's destiny. You see, without Goliath, he would have never become a king. He would have just been in the presence of the king playing his music. But it would have been without Goliath and him facing Goliath, he would have never lived up to his potential to be a king. You see, there's a difference between being in the royal court and being on the throne. See, some of us are in the royal court. But the Goliath in your life is saying, send me a man. Can we see our problems as a call from God? Are you ready to answer God's call? But if you're ready to answer God's call, first of all, you have to be what?
Courageous.
You have to be courageous. Many of you, let's go back, brother. I want to focus on that picture there. many of you will be reminded of what's going on in that picture, Tiananmen Square. You see, one young man, a courageous young man, who stood up to the Goliaths in his life, and because of his courageous efforts, the Soviet Union and their influence in their lives would fall because one man answered the call. One man was courageous enough to stand. To stand. Do you see? One man. One man. A Christian man should be courageous. Let's go ahead. Let's read this quote. Brother Robinson says that in any situation, what you are determines what you see. And what you see determines what you do. Let me say that again. In any situation, men, what you are determines what you see. And what you see determines what you do. You see, if you are a boy, you won't be able to handle your problems. Better yet, if you are a feminized man, you won't be able to handle your problems. I tell men in our congregation, when things go bump in the night, it's our job to bump back. Because we are men. You don't need to be hiding. Oh, honey, what are we going to do? I heard the bump. What are we going to do? Real men are courageous. And they're willing to stand against any Goliath of a problem that they're facing. You say, preacher, you don't know my wife. I do know your wife. Your wife is saying, send me a man. But you are a man. You are what you are determines what you see. Are you a man of God? If you are a man of God, then that Goliath of a wife.
Well.
What?
Well.
you can handle it. You're a man. Man up. Say to your neighbor, neighbor. Oh, neighbor. Man up.
I get a call tonight, Pastor. I try to man up.
But real Christian men are courageous. Even in the midst of the problems. Don't you know you were built for the problems? You were built for the problems. You don't think like a woman. You think like a man. You think logically. You were built for any problem that you are facing in your life. You are a man.
Yeah. Praise God.
You are a man. Women are the ones that are emotional. That's why, you know, they used to say back in the early 80s that I tell women this all the time. They used to say they want a sensitive man. I said, no, honey, you don't want a sensitive man. Because he'll be crying like you crying when it's time to take action.
Yeah.
You want a man.
Man.
Man up. But anyway, real men are courageous. You are courageous. And not only that, but a real man, and that's what David showed, was that he was courageous, but also a real man is caring. A real man is caring. You say, preacher, what do you mean a real man is caring? Let me explain a little something. The Harvard Business School Leadership Initiative spent years developing what is called the Great American Business Leaders Database. The project identified and analyzed the accomplishment of 900 top executives of the 20th century. And they put them in three different categories. Either they were mold makers, mold breakers, or mold takers. And what they found out of these 900 top executives, the one thing that they had in common was that they had the ability to read and focus and shape or understand their times and come up with a plan to take or take advantage of the opportunities as a result of that. And you said, Preacher, what do you mean? Well, you kind of lost me. David was caring. He read and he understood the times and he took advantage of the opportunity. He said, what will be done for the man that takes on this Goliath? He understood his times, that this was an opportunity to gain. You know, what a Chinese proverb says of a crisis, that in every crisis there's an opportunity. In every crisis, there's an opportunity, but you have to be what the Bible calls a man of Issachar. It says of the men of Issachar, they understood the times and they knew what Israel should do. They had to be caring. As a matter of fact, you, in order to get along with your wife, you have to understand the times. And take advantage of it, because if you hadn't realized this or not, your wife is not the same every day. That's why the Bible tells you to dwell with her in an understanding way. Each day she changes. That's why men have problem in marriage, because they want their woman to be a man. You say, what you mean, preacher, to be a man? But men are the ones that don't change, or the rocks. Women change.
Well, help us, help us.
Huh? And if you're going to face this Goliath of a woman in your life, you've got to learn to dwell with her in an understanding way. Can we talk about a cycle?
Right. Yeah. My Lord.
Sometimes you shouldn't be trying to talk to her.
Right.
Because she's just not thinking right.
Right.
Dwell with her in an understanding way. David understood the times and he took care of the opportunity. Not only that, but he understood that he couldn't go blow to blow with a 9-foot-9 giant.
Right.
He was average size. He was about my size, 5'8". He understood the time. He also understood that he couldn't wear the king's armor.
Mm-hmm.
He understood himself. He also understood the times, because he wasn't just a novice at facing problems like this, but what? He faced what? A lion and a bear. He understood the times. And they call this contextual intelligence. Contextual intelligence is the ability to read the forces that shape the times into which we live and to seize on the resulting opportunities. And this is Dr. Lemon Sweet. He says this: to have contextual intelligence, we have to sit at the feet of children. David, Goliath was calling for a man. Send me a man. Who came to the rescue? A child. Because the men folk didn't understand the time. They didn't realize who they were fighting for.
All right.
Huh?
That's what we have to do. Many times we don't like to let the children be busy in the church or the household of the Lord. We think our children don't know nothing. You know, a lot of our children know a lot more than we know. You know, my little girl had to teach me how to text message on my phone. I had this phone. for about 6 months and couldn't text message. I gave it to my little girl. She showed me in a minute how to text message. Contextual intelligence. David had contextual intelligence. He didn't know he was supposed to be afraid. Ain't that how you thought? They'll step out. They don't know they're supposed to be afraid. They'll take risks. They don't know. Goliath said, send me a man. Who came and fought that battle? This ain't go figure. Check this out. The Israelites were supposed to go over and conquer the land. They saw and said, it is as the Lord says it is, but we are like grasshoppers. Let's fortify cities and let giants in the land. And oh, what about our children? What about our children? Who went in and conquered the land?
Amen. The children!
That's why it's important for us as men to be carrot. Are you carrot? Are you still taking risks? Are you still taking chances? Not for yourself, but for the glory of God.
Amen, my Lord.
They get too settled.
Thank you, Lord, my Lord.
The church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ get too settled. We have church like it's 1957 as opposed to 2007.
Yeah, all right. Yeah.
And wonder why folk ain't showing up to our church. In different times. You need to get yourself some contextual intelligence. See, I didn't go there. That's what you say. So, Goliath says, send me a man. Christian men should be courageous. Christian men should be current. Current. You'll have a better marriage if you're current.
All
right. 1 Peter 3:7 says, dwell, husbands, in the same way. Live with your wife in a understanding way. 1 Chronicles 12:32 says, the men of Issachar who understood the times and knew what Israel should do. And not only that, but lastly, men, if you're going to answer the call of God to face your Goliaths, you have to be courageous. You have to be current. Another way David was current is he used this technology that was not really for war, but he used it in a different way. And that's the sling. Current in times. Okay? But you also have to be caring. And this is the most important. Because you're caring about the glory of God. See, those Goliaths in your life are taunting you. They are ridiculing you. You're supposed to be a man of God. He said, you are of the army of Saul. You see, that was the problem. They thought they were fighting for Saul.
Hold on.
You see, that's the problem in the church. We think we're fighting for Bethlehem.
Yeah.
If I'm a different church, put your name. No, you're not fighting for Bethlehem. You're not fighting for your church.
Right.
You're fighting for what? For the glory of the Lord. The end. And you have to care about the glory of God. That's the that's why David could face his Goliath. He posed the question, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that is taunting the army of the living God? Not taunting the army of Saul. That's why he could face his Goliath, because he knew who his God was.
Yes. Yes.
See, man, you, in order to face your Goliath, you have to know who God is.
Yes. Yes.
And when you see who God is, and then you focus on the problem, see? Now, you look at Goliath, he's 9. Some theologians say 9'9", but most say 9 foot. Mm-hmm. Don't you know that's bigger than Shaq?
Oh, yeah.
Don't you know that would be a formidable foe? I wouldn't even want to be on the basketball court, let alone fighting in a war with him. A formidable foe. But when you take your eyes off your problems and you put them on your God, then your God becomes bigger than your problem. Yeah, go ahead and give God a hand clap of praise. You have to care about the glory of God. Let's see what this quote says. It says that David was there fighting the battle because someone was standing there making a disgrace of the living God. Making a disgrace of the living God. What is it in your life that's making a disgrace of the living God? Is your marriage making a disgrace of the living God? God says that our marriage is really supposed to be an image of who? Christ and the church.
That's right. Amen.
Huh? Does Christ curse out the church?
Oh, Lord.
Huh? Does Christ raise his voice at the church? Does Christ lay his hands?
My Lord. Mighty good.
He's been hearing about what happened between a bishop and a prophet.
Hello, this is Pastor Eton, and we had to cut this message a little short. But we pray that your time with us today was blessed. And before we sign off, we just want to give you an opportunity to let you know about the man that God has sent, so that you can have a personal relationship with God. His name is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ died for your sin because he was the penalty and cost for God's penalty for sin, which was death. And as a result of that, if you can accept this man as your Lord and Savior, then you can enter into a personal relationship with God. All you have to do to say or pray this simple prayer: Dear God, I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart that Jesus died for my sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. Dear Jesus, come into my heart and come into my life as my Lord and Savior. If you prayed that prayer, or if you're willing to pray that prayer, then today God has sent you a God man, and you're now a child of the King. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you need to get into a church home. Now, if you're anywhere near Pauls Valley, Oklahoma, we're 55 miles south of Oklahoma City, we'd love to see you in our service. We're at 311 North Dunbar in Pauls Valley, Oklahoma, exit 72 off of Interstate 35. We'd love to see you in the service. I'm also if you're listening in Canada, United Kingdom, or somewhere else around the world, we're going to pray that God will deliver you to a Bible-teaching, Bible-living, Bible-believing church where you can grow up in the things of God. We want to thank you again for joining us today. Now, let me give you the final benediction. And this is, a benediction is the final blessing. Now, shall we pray? Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for this message. We pray, Lord, that you would deliver those who've accepted Jesus Christ to a personal home, a church home, where they can grow up in the things of God and protect the rest of us and keep us safe from all harm and danger until we meet again, either here in Cyber Church or in the service. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and praise the Lord.